Easter is the most important Christian celebration. For mainstream Christians, it is an affirmation that Jesus conquered death itself. It is their promise that they too will overcome death and experience eternal life. The resurrection is celebrated with great pomp and beauty in Christian churches. But we who may question the actual physical resurrection of the body of Jesus from the dead, we scratch our heads and wonder how we can mark the festival aside from eating chocolate. The Easter story is closely entwined with the Jewish festival of Passover. Both festivals are based on the lunar calendar. And it's not just appropriate that we freethinkers celebrate Easter. We can benefit from celebrating both festivals and the ones that predate Easter and Passover, because all of them nourish essential elements of the Spirit. Now, we may not celebrate that uniquely 2,000 years ago, one individual defied the laws of physics and rose from the dead. We do not mark that the death of one individual whose death saved humankind from eternal damnation. We go beyond the stories and we see that Easter celebrates rebirth and life renewed. And we should focus on the Christian message of love. Love without preconditions, limits, or caveats. The Jewish festival celebrates freedom, life renewed, freedom, love, all excellent reasons for us to celebrate. Why wouldn't we? The Christian story of resurrection and salvation from sin is a wonderful story. For those unable to take that leap of faith, we don't need to feel in any way deprived or feel that by celebrating Easter, we're being in a way dishonest. Because when we celebrate this time of year, we are following the tradition of dwellers in the Northern Hemisphere for generations before the birth of religions of any sort. One thing we need to remind ourselves constantly is that we human beings are the most recent arrivals in the story of evolution. We who see ourselves as Unitarian should also remember the unity of creation. We are part of the web of life that is interdependent and deeply connected. We are part of the great explosion that began the universe. We are not separately created beings. And because we are connected, we respond to what is happening in the world of nature around us. But too often we become disconnected from our roots in nature and in creation. When we reconnect with our roots, we engage with the cycle of life. The circle of life is the process of constant change. And it is because we are part of that natural world and the world of change that the changes in nature that are so obvious now affect us. The winter season deadens our spirit. We just want to hibernate in winter. Springtime is the time when we actually see and experience that death and decay, darkness and cold, are not permanent. The nature of life is generosity, and nature is generous in everything it does. Since December, the solstice, increasing daylight and warmth have awoken nature. The date of Easter is set in relation to the spring equinox. It always comes after the equinox, when daylight hours exceed the hours of darkness. And right now, life is bursting from every plant and tree. Birds and animals are preparing to create the next generation. And as part of that, we feel light and renewal seeping into our soul. We feel the world, nature itself, calling us to wake up. But despite the wonder of spring, most of us only pay a cursory glance at the miracle that surrounds us. Right now, we have daffodils and blossom all around us. We forget, we think, oh, there's the daffodils there again, or the tulips are back. They may be planted years and years ago by someone possibly now dead, but each blossom that comes every spring is brand new. It has never happened again. Likewise with the leaves and birdsong, each leaf is new, each note is fresh. But is nature playing to an audience that is blind, deaf, or just indifferent to the miracle of this newness that's on display? When the writer Dennis Potter knew he was terminally ill, he gave an interview. And in it, he spoke of how, for the first time ever, he really saw the blossom on the plum tree that was outside his window. It had blossomed every year, year after year. But when he knew his time was limited, for the first time he saw it. He said, instead of glancing at it and saying, that's nice, now I see it as the whitest, frothiest, blossomest blossom there ever could be. Have we done anything or said anything like that this spring about anything we have seen beautiful? Or do we just glance and say, ah, it's lovely. Tulips are back. The reading by Bill Darlison perfectly encapsulates the reality that we pass our days at a superficial level. We dream our days. And this is where the Jewish festival has wisdom for us. And as in the Christian stories, we read the Jewish Passover stories as metaphor. The Jews were slaves in Egypt, and we have no idea of whether they had to engage in backbreaking work. But like us, they were enslaved to the rut of habit. But the day came when they stopped thinking of change, of talking about change, and they made their escape. No long-term plan how they would survive. They didn't wait until the children were educated and the mortgage paid. They acted. And when they got to the wilderness, do you know what? There were days that was tough. There were days they said, why didn't we stay back there? This is a dreadful place. But they had left behind predictability and the safety of routine. They lived with insecurity, depending on the bounty of nature for their daily food. But it was in that setting that their different family groups were forged into a nation. That nation has survived to the diaspora programs, the Holocaust, and we know it still very much survives today. The Passover feast celebrates freedom. Maybe not freedom from physical slavery, but freedom from the slavery of habit, from living in the past or the future. St. John's Gospel said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For me, and I think for many people, that particular article of faith creates a tyrant of God. It also ignores the teaching of Jesus, because Jesus never ever spoke about beliefs. His message was about love. Love one another. Love one another without qualifications or limits. It is the message of the Buddha, who said, cultivate boundless compassion for yourself and extend that compassion to every living being. And it is the message of every sage and at the core of every religious tradition. The psychologist Viktor Frankl was a survivor of the Nazi concentration camp. While in the camp, in the horror of that place, he had a transcendent experience one morning. He was walking to work, starving with the hunger, knowing there was a day of back-breaking work ahead of him. And suddenly, he experienced a feeling of complete bliss. He later wrote of the experience. In that feeling of bliss, a thought transfixed me. For the first time in my life, I saw the truth that is set to song by so many poets, proclaimed as the final wisdom by so many thinkers. And that truth, that love is the ultimate and the highest goal to which man can aspire. Then I grasped the meaning of the greatest secret that human poetry and human thought and belief has to impart. The salvation of man is through love and in love. It is the highest aspiration. It is our salvation. Jesus knew this. It was how he lived his life. It is his message. We know that as he was about to die, his final act was to ask forgiveness for his executioners. It is the absence of love that facilitated the Holocaust. It is the absence of love that allows one person to kill another. It is the absence of love that allows us to hurt each other. The absence of love allows us to destroy the world of nature. It is when we practice love that we find salvation. So at this time of year, we rightly celebrate the renewal of life, the return of life and warmth and light, freedom and love. Whatever we call the festival is not important. So use of Easter is our tradition. So I say to everyone, a happy Easter to everyone. Let us live it in love. Amen.